Hello, hello. Is this thing working? Hello. Hey, it's Sam. Before we get into today's podcast, just a disclaimer. This is part one of two, but part one really never got off the ground because I got sidetracked by a story that was actually pretty funny that I wanted to share with you. But it's about when I made my first dollar online. So listen to part one because you really should listen to both of them. You should listen to all my shows, really. But these two do have a lot in common. But I just want to kind of warn you before you hear the intro music to today's podcast that I kind of got off the rails a little bit. You're going to like it. As a matter of fact, you're going to actually love it. And then number two today, podcast number two, I'm going to share with you a great story about making my first dollar online. So you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Here's the intro music. Ready? Cue it now!
Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday.
Boom! This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Welcome back, champion Sam Crowley. It's your host. Let's talk marketing. The Everyday Saturday podcast brought to you by me. Great to have you here. It's a Monday. It's a fun day. Every day that starts with why is your day. Remember, just because you're having a bad day doesn't mean you're having a bad life. Let's go. Shake yourself. Let's get out of it. By the end of this podcast, you're going to be on fire. Can we talk marketing? I love dissecting marketing because people make it so mysterious. Like, especially online. I'm specifically speaking about online marketing, how to make money. Make money, make money. Everybody wants to make money on the internet. I'm going to take you back. It's kind of like my first childhood memory. You ever have that question? Hey, what was your first childhood memory? My first internet money-making memory. That's what I want to talk about today. This was really, it was so simple. Simple's my new word. It's a cross between stupid and simple. It was so stupidly simple that I actually thought I was going to be arrested. I remember I was sitting in my cubicle because I had to go back to the job after I lost, I went bankrupt, blah, blah, blah. This was the fall of 2005. So it was 11 years ago, right around the same time. The weather started getting a little cooler. Sun was going down earlier, rising later. You're like, Sam, I know what happens when fall comes. Okay. So you got that. I'm just trying to put you in the feel. So I'm back in the cubicle. Everybody's laughing at me, calling me a moron.
Hey, is it Saturday today, Sam, that you're in that cubicle?
I'm like, yeah, the joke will be on you soon, my friend. The joke will be on you soon. I am so happy that I went through that process of my life. It made me so stronger. Like, I failed on such a colossal level that it made me so, I don't even fear failing. I don't want to fail. Don't get me wrong. I'm not asking for the gods of failure to rain on down on me at any point in time again. But I also know it's going to happen because I'm going to keep putting myself out there. You know, similar, every podcast I make isn't a home run. Although you would be surprised if you looked on iTunes at all the 5-star reviews. Hint, hint. Have you left a 5-star review? I know a rock star just left one and said, I finally left you a 5-star review. I'm going to read that person's name. Maybe not on this show because I wasn't actually prepared to do that. But in a future show, I will. I love the listeners, man. But I know every podcast I do isn't always going to be your favorite or everybody's favorite. But you're going to like most of them, and that's why I do the show. But it doesn't bother me if one's a dud and 9 out of 10 aren't, then I'm doing pretty good. You know, I know what you're saying, Sam. 10 out of 10 are great. Okay, I know. But back when I went to the job, I had a couple of choices. I'm like, okay, take it slow, all right? Don't do anything too risky. Or figure out different ways to supplement your income. Like, this is so counterintuitive. Think about who fails on such a colossal level. Colossal meaning buying the Quiznos, shutting it down in less than 9 months, going back to your job, asking for your job back, getting told no, but we'll put you in a booth and everyone can stare at you, laugh at you, and make fun of you because you actually used to run the show. Okay, great. Just so you're telling me I got a chance, okay? So you're telling me I got a chance. I actually embraced it. I loved it. I didn't do anything outside the office with anybody, which bothered the crap out of people. Like, hey, you want to go to lunch? No, but here's $10 for you to go so you don't drag me down anymore. Oh, I actually used that one time on somebody. Just negative dude, man. Negative dude. Hey, Crowley, want to grab lunch? And he always talked about politics in the office and how bad everything was and doesn't this suck and that stinks and this person's out to get me. I'm like, hey, I'll pay you $10 to leave me alone. Like, I'll buy your lunch. Will you take this and promise me just to leave? Because at the time, I understood then, and it didn't dawn on me, because when I was in a job like running the company, making $100,000+ a year, I thought, number one, that my job, that I was actually important, which is crazy. Nobody is irreplaceable. Like, everybody is replaceable. And I thought that my time really was just the company's time. It wasn't my time. And that was a really big shift for me. You know, I know it sounds silly and you might be thinking, what are you like some robot? Yeah, kind of. I was. I thought I was on the company's dime. So therefore, that was their time that I was in the office. When in fact, when I went there the next time after I quit my job and then went back and I was in this cubicle, I was never more at peace with who I was and my purpose and what I was going to have, really who my DNA, you know, what my DNA was, who I was. You know, I was this inspirational guy and I was going to build a brand, the Everyday Saturday brand. But I was also really cognizant of, okay, this is kind of like my little mini book of business. I'm going to work while I'm in these four walls for the company hard, but do I really need to work 8 hours? Can I get the job done in 90 minutes? And I figured, I kept trying to think, like actual work time, how much time was I actually dedicating? When you take out the water cooler talk, going to grab a coffee, chat here, chat there, just hunkering down and getting work done, I was working definitely less than three hours a day. Some days it would be 60 minutes a day and I would make more than anybody else in the office, earn more income, make more sales, all that good stuff. Because you'd be surprised, like when you really, really focus. And I, you know, it's said that most people in an 8 hour day work less than 2 hours a day. We had a telephone sales department. I was in outside sales. We had a telephone sales department whose actual job description was to sell on the telephone. So you'd have to make phone calls. They wouldn't even have to cold call. We had an existing book of business selling to clients. You would just have to take their existing portfolio and sell them a little bit more than what they had. You know, crazy concept, right? Increase to the advertiser. And we would track it. And the management team would track it, and there would be a big board out on the sales floor. And the minimum, like the goal was, you had to be on the phone 90 minutes a day. 90 minutes a day on the phone. Like, I'm on the phone 90 minutes a day now. I haven't had a job in 10 years, and I'm doing business on the phone 90 minutes a day now. When your job description is telephone sales, and you can't be on the phone more than 90 minutes a day, you got a problem, man. And nobody really called anybody on. Like, oh. And they would make up the lamest excuses. Oh, yeah, a lot of paperwork I had to get. You know, they would move the, you know, they would be paper by day and people by night, most of these employees there. Be like just pushing paper all day, and then they go hang out with their friends. And that's why they were in the lowest paying jobs, because they added the least amount of value. And when somebody, good Lord, somebody averaged 2 hours of phone time a day, we would put them at the right hand of, like, oh my God, you're amazing. And people would try to game the system. Here's a great story. I was a manager and over a team that had telephone sales and outside sales as I was working my way up the corporate ladder. And these two telephone sales reps, it was so competitive. And when we started tracking phone time, these two telephone sales reps, I would notice, I would get the call. Like, I would actually try to manage the phone time. I was, I know it's crazy being a manager. You actually do manage this process. Nobody else did. All the other managers were just androids. They're just lemmings. They're just like, duh. And so I'm like, hey, let me see those call reports for my team. Call report. Yeah, we can track the calls inbound and outbound and inbound calls. Let me see. And like, these people are on the phone 3 hours for one call. I'm like, who the hell's on the phone for 3 hours selling something on the telephone? And they weren't even like hitting their quota. So I dove a little bit deeper and I dialed the number that these two, it was a guy and a girl. They were young, in their mid-20s. And I'm like, let me see who they're calling. Because it was the same phone number. And then I started watching them in their booth when I would monitor their phone, and it showed them on the telephone. Like, their light was lit up. I saw the mask like a switchboard operator. I had access that I could see people's lines lit up. And I saw that they're on their phone, but then I'd look out my office onto the sales floor, but they're not in their booth. Huh, so what's going on? So I go over to the phone, and it's rigged to be off the hook. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. That's how they're getting three-hour phone calls. But that's not even the best part of the story. You want to know the best part of the story? Yes, Sam. Okay. And you can't make this stuff up. The best part of the story is they actually were calling movie theaters that gives you – I don't even know if they still do this. Guys, this was like 2000, 2001, 2002. I don't know if they still do this, but you would call the movie theater – and they would read, and it would just be a loop of telling you, and showing at 1:40 today is going to be The Perfect Storm with George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg. Showing hours are 1:40, 1:50, 2:40, 3:10, 4:15, 5:30, and on and on and on it went nonstop. And then it'd be silence, and it'd be like, thank you for calling the Cincinnati Rave 8 Theater. Movie times today are, and it would nonstop, 3 hours. So I called him into the office. Like, hey, how you doing? Good. How you doing? Hey, great phone time. Oh, shucks. Thanks, boss. I'm like, yeah. Damn, how many of these movies did you catch? And then it just looked like they'd seen a ghost. I'm like, seriously? You're calling movie review hotline. I mean, is the pressure that tough to be on the phone for 90 minutes out of an 8-hour day that you're calling the damn movie review hotline? But that's what employees do. They do just enough not to get fired, and the boss pays them just enough so they won't quit. And our company was no different. I mean, it's just insane how much time people waste. And I know we're not even talking about marketing. That's going to be on the next show right after this, because I just had to share this story with you. I feel led to share this story with you. Do you receive that message today, my friend? Do you receive the message today that you should not be a mindless lemming who had a lobotomy and just following the leader endlessly off the cliff? Can you just please find your purpose? Remember, having a bad day doesn't mean you're having a bad life. But boy, if you want to have a bad life, call movie review hotlines every day for 365 days. That'll drive you flipping nuts. So, end of the story. They never did it again. Both of them ended up quitting. Shocker! A little while. They stayed on for a little while longer, a few months, maybe even a year, one of them. But, you know, the cream really does rise. And it's not that hard to separate yourself from other people. It's just not that difficult. Whether you're an entrepreneur or an employee, it's not that difficult to shine amongst everybody else. You just got to kind of do the job and then do about 10% more. And they'll be sending you on trips all around the world. Wow, that story was actually, I had never even told that story before, but I just told it for the first time in probably 15 years, and I still can't believe it happened. Anyway, I'm going to go call a movie review line now, see what's playing in Cincinnati. Now I really want to know. Or maybe I'll get on the internet. Wouldn't that be a novel concept? Anyway, speaking of the internet, next show after this, I'm going to share with you the very first time I earned income. You're going to be shocked. You're going to be like, that's too dumb. I know. Hey, I don't make the news. I just report it. Sam Crowley, have the best day ever.